Well, it's a big day in the sports world today. Good evening, everybody. My name is Evan John. This is the Water Cooler 91.1 WHFC. Most notably, it is draft day in the National Football League. One of the biggest, I'd argue the biggest, day on the NFL calendar. All 32 teams ready to go. Here, all the storylines and everything will come to a head. Storylines turn into headlines tonight. In exactly 2 hours now, the clock will start ticking, and the Carolina Panthers will be on the clock with the first overall pick. We will do a 10-pick mock draft here, the first 10 picks. There'll be a mock of that on the show. Over to the baseball side of things, the Orioles stay red hot. They're 16-8. They are the fourth best team in Major League Baseball right now, coming off a 5-1 homestand. They are set to begin their longest road trip of the year, a 10-game trip, starting in Detroit. That first pitch is 6:40, just under an hour from now. Orioles looking good. Local sports going on as well. Here, high school sports in Harford County, and also I sit down with Harford star outfielder Quinn Madden, the JMU commit. Was nice enough to sit down with me, take some time, interviewed him about his career here at Harford and his accomplishment of becoming a D1 athlete, going to James Madison. So let's start it, like we always do, high school sports here in Harford County.
There was a lot of action this week in Harford County as the fourth annual Cal Ripken Senior Fight for the Fungo game took place between the Aberdeen Eagles and the Javi de Grace Warriors, with the Warriors knocking off the Eagles 6-2. The game is held every year in honor of Cal Ripken Sr., father of Cal and Billy Ripken. The winning coach will receive a commemorative Fungo bat used by Ripken at his baseball school. The Warriors hung on to the Fungo for another year. In other baseball news, Folsom knocked off C. Milton Wright 10-3 at C. Milton Wright. In softball, Patterson Mill defeated Harford Tech 10-0, and Rising Sun knocked off North Harford 13-1. In girls' lacs, C. Milton Wright defeated Patterson Mill 18-5. That's a wrap on high school sports for this week. Until next week, I'm Sean Donovan. Have a good week.
That was our very own Sean Donovan there with the Sports Minute here in Harford County High School Sports. Of course, still in full force, full action. But let's switch gears here now. Like I said, the NFL draft is tonight. It is the talk of the sports world this evening. So we'll do a 10-pick mock draft here, the top 10 picks in the NFL draft. I'll give you how I think it's going to go. And we'll start with the Carolina Panthers with the first overall pick. This one is the easy one. If you ask me, the Panthers go with Bryce Young, Alabama quarterback. The Panthers they've gone through a lot of quarterbacks recently. They want that franchise guy they haven't had really since Cam Newton. And they go and get that, I believe, with Bryce Young. The number 2 overall pick, this is Houston Texans. The Houston Texans pick. Here, the pick that nobody seems to know what's going to happen with. I think the Texans had their eye on Bryce Young all along. Now that they know they're not going to get Bryce Young, I don't think they go on a quarterback they weren't all in on. I think with a defensive head coach, they go with Will Anderson, edge out of Alabama. Like I said, the Texans, I believe, were all in on Bryce Young. Now they know they're not going to get him. With the Panthers trading in with the Bears, their defense was really bad last year. They have a defensive head coach and D'Amico Ryans now, and with the QB, they really want it off the board. I think Ryans will want to start by fixing the defense in Houston and maybe take a quarterback later, or maybe use picks and build the defense now and take quarterback next year. I don't know, but I think the number 2 pick is Will Anderson Jr., edge rusher out of Alabama. Number 3 will be the Arizona Cardinals. Their pick here, we've seen this go a lot of different ways too in the mock drafts. Me personally, I'm going with D-tackle Jalen Carter out of Georgia. Some people say the best player in this entire draft. And J.J. Watt is gone. Zach Allen is now a Denver Bronco. They need help defensively. They allowed 52 touchdowns last year. That was the second most in the NFL, only to the Bears. The Cardinals have also brought in a new head coach. He's a defensive coach. I think the Cardinals go Jalen Carter at 3. And number 4, this pick will be interesting to some people. It's the Indianapolis Colts. We've seen this go a couple different ways as well. I think it's a quarterback pick, and I'm going with Will Levis, quarterback out of Kentucky. The Colts have had some QBs over the past few years that were more towards the unathletic side. I would say since Andrew Luck, you can Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, all on that list. I think the Colts want more of that athletic type again. I think this is the guy that they've been focused on all along. I'll use my draft day movie analogy here, my draft day movie reference. Here, I think Colts GM Chris Ballard tosses that folded post-it note on the table. Will Levis, no matter what. Number 5 is the Seattle Seahawks. They come in, you know, this is the pick they acquired from the Broncos. This is the Russell Wilson pick here. And I think they go Tyree Wilson, edge rusher out of Texas Tech. The Seahawks' list of needs in the draft includes interior O-line, they need secondary help, and they want another wide receiver. Pete Carroll, very defensive head coach. The last time Seattle had a double-digit sack guy was Frank Clark. That was 5 years ago for Seattle. And if you go back over the years here with Seattle, Pete Carroll's best teams always have good edge rushers. I think Pete wants another one. I think he goes and gets that in Tyree Wilson at pick number 5. Number 6 is the Detroit Lions. I think they go cornerback Devon Witherspoon out of Illinois is the pick for me. Lions bad against the pass last season. They had the third worst pass defense. They also traded away Jeff Okuda, their former number 3 overall cornerback pick. I think they certainly go corner at 6. I think it's Devon Witherspoon. And these two have been flip-flopped a lot in mock drafts. Some people say this guy is the Lions pick. Some people say it's the Raiders pick. I went this way, the Raiders at 7. Also cornerback, Christian Gonzalez out of Oregon. Very physical corner. The Raiders have a bad secondary. I believe it's a glaring need for this team. They allowed, if you dive into it, the highest passer rating in the NFL last year for quarterbacks. Corner is a big need. In Vegas, they get one that they want at pick number 7. Now, the Falcons here. This pick, I've read a lot of mock drafts over the past couple weeks. This pick is all over the place. All over the place. For me, personally, they're going to go edge rusher out of Georgia. I have Nolan Smith as an Atlanta Falcon. The Falcons are in need of a pass rusher. I think Nolan Smith is pretty versatile. He can do a lot for you, and I believe that's what Atlanta is looking for. At number 8, he fits the bill, and I think they go with it. At number 9, this is the Bears pick. They traded down with Carolina. At number 9, I think the Bears go offensive tackle. It's Peter Skoronski. This one has been, I don't want to say consensus, but pretty common. Pretty common in mock drafts. Skoronski is out of Northwestern. Justin Fields, the most sacked quarterback last year. They need help on the offensive line. Skoronski can play tackle. He can play guard. I've heard people talk about center a little bit. I lean towards tackle and guard. He can play both of those. I think the versatile, the versatile offensive lineman is the way the Bears want to go. I think they keep it local with Peter Skoronski. And then at number 10 here, this pick is really, really easy for me looking at the class. I mean, not saying it's going to be easy tonight for who knows what trades are going to happen, this, that, and the other thing. But if it goes as it is right now, I think the Eagles are all over Bijan Robinson, running back out of Texas. Robinson might be one of the best overall prospects in this entire draft, in my personal opinion. He is a versatile running back. He can run. He can be a pass catcher. He stays healthy. He hasn't been hurt very much. The Eagles have been a running back by committee team for a while now. And Robinson is a guy you can plug and play in many different roles. He can do a lot of different things for you. I think that's the kind of back that Philadelphia wants. And I think they are all over him at number 10. Bijan Robinson rounds out our top 10 here. So to read it back to you again, 1 through 10, the Panthers go Bryce Young, Texans go Will Anderson, Cardinals go Jalen Carter, Colts go Will Levis, Seahawks go with Tyree Wilson, Lions go with Devon Witherspoon, the Raiders go with Christian Gonzalez, Falcons go with Nolan Smith, Peter Skoronski to the Bears, and the Eagles round it out at number 10 with Bijan Robinson. So that is my top 10 mock draft for this evening. It's going to be exciting. Everybody loves draft day. I am very excited. Like I said, the clock starts ticking in just under 2 hours. But for the Orioles here, well, we'll do the Orioles in a minute here, actually. I'll pump the brakes on that one. Pump fake on that one. It's first. Got the chance to sit down with Harford star outfielder Quinn Madden, recently committed to James Madison University. Had a great season last year as they went to the JUCO World Series, returned, came back to Harford, and finally getting his shot at Division I baseball. Quinn Madden, the James Madison University commit, joins the show. I am joined now by Harford star outfielder, the James Madison University commit, straight from practice. Yep. Quinn, welcome. Quinn Madden joins the show. Yep. Quinn, how are you doing?
Good to be back. Good to be back. How are we doing today?
We're doing good. How was practice?
It was good. It was a nice 75-degree day with a little bit of a breeze. You know, couldn't ask for much more. So, I mean, I'm feeling good. You know, shorts and everything. Didn't have to be in the pants today.
Yeah, I did. I don't know why I did, but...
Yeah, I walk in and Evan is in a full sweatsuit in the 80-degree weather.
Not good. Not good. But first off, want to say congratulations on the James Madison commit. You're going to play baseball now in the Sun Belt Conference?
Correct.
Division I?
Correct.
So, I mean, what does that mean to, you know, you've worked, I see you all the time on the field, you know, you're a guy that's first in, last out kind of guy, and now you're getting the chance to play Division I.
It means a lot, not only coming as, you know, a guy who spent, you know, 3 seasons at Harford working hard every day, but coming out of high school, you know, a kid who had, you know, limited and no opportunities, you know, to continue at the next level, you know, you know, one or two Division III offers and then Harford. So, I mean, it just meant a lot coming from, you know, a standpoint of having nothing and then working my way up to actually, you know, being something and having a name and you know, in the area of JUCO baseball. So it just meant a lot, you know, because the hard work did really pay off.
Yeah. And then just taking a journey through the career here at Harford, was it not demoralizing, but kind of discouraging where, you know, of course you're coming out of high school, the star high school player dreams D1 right away, right? Yeah. Imagines D3. And then you come to junior college, which some people devalue, mm-hmm. I guess, and you're not even playing every day here. You're in the bottom of the lineup, not always in the lineup. Is this kind of a, like, you know, what is this going to be?
So I think that first year here really humbled me, especially that first month in the fall, coming off of the COVID year, because I think I mentioned it on the Night Owl show before, you know, so many guys, they didn't have anywhere to go and they got their eligibility back. So I was 18 years old competing with, you know, 21, 22 year olds. So I went from a guy who, you know, played every day in high school, every day in travel ball, to a guy where they basically told, you know, every true freshman, hey, like, you're probably going to get a redshirt this year. You're not really going to play. So I'd never really been in the spot of, you know, not playing before. So I kind of had to learn to deal with that adversity. And then being able to make the roster that year, I'd kind of been able to swallow, like, hey, you know, like, you know, the odds just aren't in, you know, my favor right now. It's beyond baseball at this point. You know, it's about, you know, eligibility and COVID and all this stuff. So that first year really humbled me, and I learned a lot from the guys, you know, who are way older than me. So, you know, I took that and used that as a learning experience instead of, you know, being down on myself or frustrated or annoyed. And then, you know, as, you know, Coach Hauser told me coming in after that year was that the whole point of that year was to, you know, get experience and lead the team for the next, you know, following year. And for, you know, last year's team to, you know, go 48-9 and go to the JUCO World Series and compete for a national title. I mean, that was amazing. And, you know, did have a little bit of disappointment after that season, you know, because I had a pretty good season. You know, I thought I was going to be able to go to some certain schools, you know, and those all fell through. So it all came down to this past summer, you know, making the decision to bet on myself and, you know, return to junior college because I still had my eligibility. So, I mean, it was a bit of a tough pill to swallow, you know, because you'd already spent 2 years here. But it kind of just took myself looking in the mirror like, hey, like, are you going to bet on yourself and, you know, go somewhere that you really like and that you've always wanted to go to? Or are you going to settle now and take the risk? Right. And, you know, I wasn't willing to take a risk where I go somewhere where I look myself in the mirror every day and just not like where I'm at. So, you know, just always learned to bet on myself ever since I was younger. Yeah. So I kind of carried that throughout my college years, and it's the best decision I ever made.
Yeah. And talking more about that, you know, I know now I know Trey Cruz as well. You guys are close, and you talk about the last year's group that went to the JUCO World Series. You guys are a family, really, really tight knit. You could tell that on the field, watching from a distance, you know, on the field, off the field. And how long did it take you to, you know, really, you know, buy in to Harford and just fall in love with Harford and the guys? How long did that take to?
See, it was probably my first year, you know, once I got around, you know, the guys and get comfortable, and we got into the spring and game times came, and I saw how, you know, the kind of baseball we played, where it was like, you know, everybody hates us and we had the time of our lives playing baseball. But, you know, the thing about that first year is I don't think that bond was there that we had last year. So it was, you know, probably last year, you know, it probably took one, maybe 2 days of practice in the fall, you know, of, you know, getting on campus for that whole team to realize, like, wow, like, we're all best friends. So, you know, every day at practice, every day at lifts, especially games, like, I had the time of my life, you know, with, you know, playing my favorite sport with my, you know, my best friends. So, I mean, that was, you know, a big, you know, learning lesson about, you know, how, you know, a team bond can just, like, carry, you know, me, can carry the whole team together, you know, how that can affect everybody and, you know, in a positive aspect. So that was just a big learning experience to see what it's like to be around, you know, like a true brotherhood.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been close with teams before, but I've never been close like we were with that team last year.
Right. And then kind of staying on the same vein here before I move on to a different topic. A term that I learned coming here last year to work with Harford, work with the athletes and everything, was the JUCO bandit. Is what I heard. So what is that? What does that mean? How do you embody it? What's that personality? And so, what does it mean?
So JUCO bandit was originally started by Eric Sim, also known as the King of JUCO. And you know, that phrase kind of carried along with everybody who played a JUCO or JUCO baseball, because it's not any other sport for JUCO. It's just JUCO baseball is what a JUCO bandit is. And when I first arrived at Harford, you know, I kind of realized, like, that JUCO bandit mindset was that, you know, we're here, you know, we're going to be better than you, we're going to make you hate us, we're going to have the time of our lives, and we're going to be rowdy. And so I kind of, like, believe it or not, I based my personality off of being a JUCO bandit, you know, once I got here. And that was kind of like, you know, play the game hard, play the game intense, and play the game, like, with a chip on your shoulder, and, like, you're the best player out there. And I think the term bandit comes, I think I kind of made this up, you know, sitting around the table with, you know, other JUCO players, because we always wondered, we think that, you know, the term bandit, jump into it, you know, that correlates to wherever you go next year, you're a bandit and you steal somebody's spot.
I like that.
We're not 100% like sure that, if that's, you know, that's why, but that's just what we call it. But we also think, you know, the term bandit could come from just being rowdy, you know, being cutthroat, being blue-collar players, and I think that's the more analytical term of where bandit comes from, I guess.
Yeah. And then moving on a little bit here, you know, James Madison, of course, is the university you are committed to. How did that begin? How did it materialize? And how's the interaction with James Madison been?
So I started talking with James Madison last year during the JUCO World Series year, and they had followed me throughout the season. But still, COVID was still affecting the roster, where they had guys who should be graduating, but they weren't. So I didn't really get, you know, I wanted to go there last year, and I didn't get the opportunity because they didn't have the space. And, you know, I swallowed that because that's just, you know, a reoccurring theme around the country with schools. And at some point through probably within the past month or two, I actually had reached back out to the coach. And I think he assumed that I was already, you know, kind of moved on or committed or, you know, whatnot. So I reached out and he immediately responded, was like, hey, like, we have a serious interest in you still. Like, you know, we're losing our whole outfield next year. We need a guy who can come in, be an older guy and carry the team or carry the outfield and lead the outfield. So that really stuck out to me because it was, you know, they really emphasized that they didn't want to, I mean, I don't want to say miss out on me again, but it was like, you know, they knew they didn't get me last year because of, you know, just the whole situation with COVID and all that. And, you know, they really showed me that they really valued me and wanted me as a baseball player and as a person. You know, they took the time for every coach to, you know, recruit me at once. It wasn't just one guy, you know, and they showed that they really wanted me to be a Duke. And that's a big thing for me, you know, when choosing a school was, you know, do I want to go there or do they want me to go there or both? Because a lot of places, you know, a player may really want to go there and the coaching staff, you know, may, you know, not necessarily be, you know, as on to them as they are, you know, vice versa. And so just overall, especially, you know, once I took my visit and everything, Coach Ike, you know, he gave us the my dad and I the royalty treatment. You know, he took the time out of his day, a day they had practice, you know, to take us out, you know, just the two of us, you know, drove us around one-on-one. You know, they really took time to get to know me as a person, as a player. You know, they had really been following me for a while. So that just meant a lot to me, like just, you know, knowing that, like, I meant that to them. So, you know, you want to go somewhere where you're valued. And Coach Ike and Coach Jackson, all the guys there, they really showed me early that they valued me, and that really stuck out to me.
And now this year, now you have committed to James Madison. You know where you're going to play next year. And it's not, to word it the right way, it's not checking out. It's not, you know, out on these guys here. You're still focused on this team, this family. But is there a weight off your shoulders to play every day out there, you know, to really give every, not to give everything, you've got to do that anyway, but to put all the eye-popping numbers up every day out there?
Every day I still want to go out and, you know, out-compete everybody on the field. But it's funny because our athletic trainer, Tim, asked me this question about 45 minutes ago. The weight and the pressure is never off your shoulders because, believe it or not, there is a level after James Madison. And on top of that, you know, the only weight I'll say it's off my shoulders is recruiting-wise. You know, I don't have to go and get a million videos and send them to a million different people and, you know, go on Twitter and all this stuff. You know I can just go out and play baseball loose and free, which I've always done. But, you know, you kind of know, like, okay, like, I've kind of finalized what I'm doing, where I'm going. I can go out and just play baseball now. Because it used to be, you know, playing baseball, sending emails, recruiting, you know, all this stuff. And now it's just playing baseball, which I love. So it's just really nice to have that. It's a little bit of a weight off the shoulders, but it's never, you know, checking out. It's never going to be taking a game off, taking a pitch off. Right. And another thing I love is just, like, watching, you know, because typically once a guy commits, the guys in his position will get a little bit more opportunities. And I love watching the guys, you know, coming in after me and just getting after. So I love supporting the guys who are still yet to find a spot because I know, you know, their time's coming soon. I just love supporting that.
Yeah. And then last year, too, of course, there's a couple of guys that got looks. And, of course, most notably Braden Carpathios, the player here. I interviewed him after he signed, of course, now with the San Diego Padres, playing in their complex league out in Arizona at the moment. And great, great player, but a great guy, too. I got to talk to him a lot. And when that happened, when you saw that Braden was signed, you know, you knew the Padres guys were out there, they really cared about him as a player, was there, like, a sense of, like, whoa in the dugout? Like, these scouts are out here, they'll find us if we're playing? Like, these are major league scouts looking at us?
It probably, like I said, I think it wasn't until, you know, within the past 2 months, I realized, like, hey, like, you know, this dream of playing professional baseball isn't really that unrealistic, you know, because back in the fall, I had advisors reaching out to me, you know, me, Trey, some other guys, you know, I'm not trying to toot our own horn, like, we've had, you know, pro scouts coming to look at us, so you kind of start to, like, realize, like, all right, like, this is becoming a game within a game, like, you've really got to, you know, amp the focus up from 100% to 120%, you know, because, you know, every day, even when we played yesterday, you know, we had a Philly scout at our game against, you know, Rowan Gloucester. So you kind of start to realize, like, there's more than just colleges in the stands. There's more than just colleges looking at you, you know, and everybody talks to everybody. So that's another big reason why, you know, never take a game off, never take a pitch off, you know, no matter where you're going, no matter where you're committed, no matter, you know, how well you're doing or how, you know, or vice versa, no matter how, you know, let's say you're struggling, let's say you're doing well, like, you don't change the way you play.
And then to wrap it up here, bring it back to Harford. Your season's starting to wind down. You start to think about the postseason, the playoffs a little bit.
Yeah, we're ready. You know, we've kind of gotten a look on, you know, we've played every team except for one that we're going to see in the region. We've already played a team that we will most likely see in the district. I'm not sure if you know this, but Monroe has been added to our region this year. You know, had a good couple wins against Monroe last week, so that was really good for the team. You know, for the team morale, you know, because they had taken two from us, you know, two, you know, a sweep of Potomac State against their best guy, you know, that was a big thing for us because, you know, we kind of showed our, you know, our region, like, hey, like, no matter what you throw at us, you know, no matter what you give us, like, we're going to handle you. Like, we're going to take care of business.
Well, Quinn, congratulations again on committing to James Madison. Good luck the rest of the season, and thank you for joining the show.
Thank you for having me again.
Quinn Madden, Harford outfielder here. This is the Water Cooler, 91.1 WHFC. That was Quinn Madden here joining the show. And now as I start to wrap it up here, I have to, of course, mention the fact probably everybody in town knows now, but Baltimore has their man. Lamar Jackson signs the 5-year extension with the Baltimore Ravens worth $260 million. He gets the number he wanted, gets the deal that he wanted. So Ravens fans, happy. Lamar Jackson, happy. Lamar Jackson is indeed the franchise quarterback in Baltimore. We talked about the storylines. Will the Lamar saga come to a head tonight at the draft? We got our answer. It was just before the draft, and the Ravens are not going to let him get away. So Lamar Jackson, a Raven for years to come. And now to close it out here, as I have another minute or two, the Orioles in just about 10 minutes, 15 minutes here, will start the longest road trip of the year. It's a 10-game trip, beginning tonight with 4 in Detroit, then 3 in Kansas City, and then 3 down south in Atlanta to begin what is a very, very tough month of May for the Baltimore Orioles. They're 16-8 right now. Like I said, the fourth best team in Major League Baseball. When's the last time you heard that? But a very tough month of May. They'll be tested. They get to play with the big dogs a little bit. But right now, the Orioles, red hot at the moment, and they take that momentum into what I believe is, without a doubt, their toughest month of the year. You see Tampa, you see New York, you see Toronto, Texas, now division leaders there. The Pittsburgh Pirates coming on strong. They're division leaders. The NL Central, of course, the Atlanta Braves are great too. So battle-tested, the Orioles will be at the end of the month of May. But that is all the time I have tonight. Thank you guys so much for joining me this evening. I appreciate it. As always, this is the Water Cooler, 91.1 WHFC. Same time, same place next week, Thursday, 6 p.m. Enjoy the draft, everybody. We'll see you next week.